how the I becomes single, that is a practical question, you see. Take heed, you see, that light of God is within us, you see, each one of us. We have not to create it, but we have to open our single eye, which is called the third eye, by the Hindu and by Mohammedans it is called Nukteswarana, you see. If thine eye becomes single or becomes one, you see, or the third eye, which is independent of these two eyes, or the back eye, you might say, the one eye is there which looks through these eyeballs. These are the spectacles we are wearing on, you see, through which the inner eye sees. That is the single eye. How to invert, how to open that eye, this is what is the message. Job, you see, to give you personal experience. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of life. This morning about 61 men were given the meditation, you see, and almost every one of them had saw light. Not, I think, with the exception of one who was just involved in the breathing, all others had it. This very definite fact, you see, that two and two makes four. The pity it is that there are very few people who know about these things practically. So that is why in St. Luke you will find it was given a great warning. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkened. Light is within thee, let it not be darkened. We have darkened it, you see. When you close your eyes, you don't see. Light, you see, all pitch dark, you see. So take heed that light is not darkened. That is already darkened, you see. And how to enter in, that's the point. So I say Hindus, yoga philosophy and others, it is said, our master says, that there are two ways, you see. One is very beautiful, pere marg, very beautiful marg. That is the way of going to expression. Everything looks very nice, very beautiful, very enchanting, attractive. When you enter that way, you look through the two eyes, you see. What is this? You are tied to the outside and naturally you are cast into hell. You are even here, not be peaceful, then after that how can you be peaceful? So it's better to enter into the inner eye, that is the way of Sharemarag. The Sharemarag, that's the way, just starts from beginning, it is all dark. When you find further way up, it opens and opens and worlds of creation you see inside and see what. And that very thing has been given in the Saint by Matthew. I find by further study of the religion, the same things are given. Of course given in their own language, but that practical side is not changed, you see. They say, enter ye in the straight gate. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You see? That expressing the same thing what I have told you the other way. Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Everybody goes in that way. You see? Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. That starts from darkness, you see. And ultimately, few there be that find it. That way is within you. But there are few who really find it. And the Sikh master says, well, O blind man, you do not know the way which goes back to God, that lies within you, and that is the way back to God. When you cannot find that way, are you not blind? That way lies there, that lies within you, and nowhere else. Then they said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Try to enter in, you see. at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, but shall not be able. These are now all practical questions, you see. How to? That needs somebody who has that experience that way and is competent to give you first-hand experience. Now, our respect goes to all masters who came in the past, whoever came in contact with them, they gave them first-hand experience, you see. And when they left to average human, people forgot. Some other master came up and just revived that old science of opening the inner eye, entering into the kingdom of God. To die, leave the body at will, you see. Then ultimately, now, this 20th century, our respect goes to all masters who came in the past. True masters, now, again add one word, you see, true masters. And even now we need the guidance of somebody who is expert in that way, who can all have that experience and can give you first-hand experience now. You shall not have to wait till death. Generally, you find many teachers or masters, so-called nowadays, they say, "Oh, you are not yet ready, please. Just you are not ready. Wait. You'll have to do this and that thing." Simply postponing. When you go to your master, he'll never do that. All right, you see, he has to give something. He knows it. You see, he's competent. He's authorized by God. He's the mouthpiece of God. You see, he's got commission from God. He has come only for that purpose. Just to lead the seekers of God on the way back to God. That's all. To put them on the way. This is his job. When you come to him, he simply gives you first an experience. Come on, sit down. Be convinced of the theory first. The learned and the unlearned, both, I tell you, who have got real love for God, real desire, real search for God, they're all fit. Such people will come to your master, they will give him experience first hand. And if you just work, live up to what he says, you'll be advancing like anything. So this is the qualification of master given that way. When you come to a true master, you'll need no testimony, you see. You'll see things for your own self, quite consciously, under no influence, you see, of hypnotism or influence. But you'll be conscious at the time of seeing, even you remember after that. Once the way is open, you see, you'll be able to transcend and go into the beyond day-to-day practice. That thing that becomes your own part and parcel of life, you see. So, we have to hope that God is light and God resides in every heart, you see. But to see the light of God, that you see by only inversion, transcension, coming about the body consciousness. The ABC of the teachings of the masters taught when you just come above the body consciousness. All philosophies and their religion starts. True religion is one, not two. Social religions are so many. They were just made for the uplift of man. Man is social. You remain where you are. You are not to change that for having the way back to God. Remain where you are, be sincere, have good qualities, live an ethical, pure, chaste life. Don't think evil of others, love all. He was God qualification that way, he's a fit person to go up. And Master gives him the first and experience how to come out of the body, constantly. Even if a Descartes comes to your master, he changes, you see. He's no more a Descartes now. Because he just led into the beyond, has some higher values before him. He sees those things with his own eyes, you see. So that the light of God is within you. If thy heart, that is given the Saint Luke, you see, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give the light. The divine example, you see. Within you, just in a room, candle is burning, the whole room is lighted. Similarly, that light is within you and that is light is within. Therefore, what you should do, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkened, you see. Maintain that thing. We have lost that thing, you see. We have not progressed that way. So we have to open that eye within, you see. This is what the masters say. And for that thing, I remember, you see, masters have been saying what they have said, all masters have said the same way, you see. For that reason, now I will give you one saying of the master, the Tulsidas, what he has to say on that very subject, you see. For that purpose, you see, that is no reserved right of any one social religion or the other. That purely a science, just like astronomy or physical science or engineering, this and that thing, you see. Man is man first, and then whatever way he is developed, he is called by that name, you see. Engineer is a man, no doubt, first, and then an engineer. Doctor is a man first, and then a doctor, you see. For the master is first man, you see, and then a master, you see. Master is not the body. That qualification that he has earned within, you see. He becomes conscious co-worker, the mouthpiece of God, that power which is working through, he is that. Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So, there has been cases, you see, just like a man, one astronomer goes to another astronomer, or one physical doctor, just they have a meeting of whole doctors together, just to decide certain questions. In the past, there have been cases in which one master has been going to the other. Vyasa Rishi of the old went to Zoroastra to meet him. There have been cases in the West, I mean, they came to the East, to India, to meet those masters over there for higher knowledge, you see. There's no shame. When we want to learn something, we have to go to somebody who is expert that way. So it is spoken of him, Mr. Taki, who was in search of God, he had to come to India, you see, and sat at the feet of Tulsidas. He was a master also, you see. He is one who preceded that thing. Shivdyal Singh, you see. The grand master of our master, you see. Well, he says, he came up to him for that, for life. And he addressed him just to tell him, he says, well, look, you are Taki. You need not be in a hurry, be not disheartened, but simply do one thing. What? When a child is born, you see, he is not innate sense then to look constantly, minutely at any one time. He goes on seeing and seeing. That's the first thing. When a child is born, when he sees that one thing, he continues seeing for even sometimes hours. He says that power which lies within you, just develop that power of seeing, inner gaze, opening of the inner gaze. You see? And if you succeed that way, God is already within you, you will see the glory of God within you. You see? You have to open the inner eye, you see? That eye which is now closed, and even you close your eye, you see darkness before you. And there is something which sees that darkness. And that something is the inner eye. It is just if you fix that gaze, looking minutely, constantly, penetratingly at any one place, as a child sees that after this ball, you see, in the early years, similarly you just develop that inner gaze or the inner sight. What would result? Can the God is within you, you'll see the glory and the light of God within you. He says, how? He gives reference to the eyes now. You see, in the body, eyes have got the highest place in the whole body, above all other organs of sense. First the eyes, then the ears, then the mouth, nose, both have come below. The eyes is the place highest in the man body, and its work is also the highest, you see. Eye is the, you see, light of the body. Man sees through it. When his soul communes with God, he becomes the mouthpiece of God. God sees through those eyes outside, you see. The play, eyes are the seat of play of the soul within the body. When whatever, you see, condition of the soul is, that way thing comes out of the body. When you are in love, you see, your eyes just give out all love, you see. Very sweet. When you are anger, your eyes are red, you see. When you are just attachment, the whole thing between eyes are the expression of the whole body. So he says that thing, looking into the middle, just with the inner gaze, just develop that power, then you will see the light of God or the glory of God which always resides in you. Then he further explains that thing. He says, you have got eyes, and within eyes you have got the within that pupil, you see, of the eye, and there's still further the star of the eye. He says, just if you just look within, back the eyes, inwards, the whole mystery of creation is lying there. You can come in contact to see all creation, you see. You will be able to transcend and see macrocosm lying within you. Now you close your eyes, it is all darkness, he says. But close your eyes, just come to the middle of the eye at the back, come back, and there you will find the mystery of life on the earth. Just continue looking into it. Then what does he say? He says, if you just be able to look this, tear the dark veil within you, when you see, close the eyes, you see darkness naturally, each one of us. He says, if you just be able to tear, penetrate through that dark veil within, then what will you see? He says, you will be knowing all about this creation, physical and of the beyond too. But look minutely, don't look wide, he says. With full rapt attention, just look into that. Then he says, what will happen? Because when you will just in that way transcend the body, you will just come, be born anew in the new world. When you will there, you will hear the voice of God within you. You see the light of God, you will hear the voice of God. You will simply tell all people, well, there is a new life, there is the glory of God, there is the light of God, there is the voice of God reverberated throughout all creation. You will see for your own self. Then what he says? He says, well, look here, it is not difficult to see God within, you see. If any difficulty is, that is seeing how to look beyond the dark veil, how to penetrate the dark veil. When you close your eyes, you see darkness, how to penetrate through it. That is the difficulty. If you know how to penetrate, open the inner eye, or the third eye, or the single eye, naturally you see that. But how to open the inner eye for that purpose, what will you have to do? He says, well, look here. For that purpose you will have to sit at the feet. Have the grace of some master. Like he will give you little, what you say, impetus, you might say, life-giving glance you ride on city life. If you do not know how to transcend the body, you see, well, that thing lies within you, light of God is within you, but you won't be able to see that light, you see. This is what Tulsi, the old Mirza Taqi, who came up to him. Well, the same truth he will now stand, you see. Guru Amar Das, he was after such a God for about 70 years, long 70 years, you see. When he came to the feet of the second masters of the sixth, he got that inner vision, you see, inner eye open. What does he say? Well, people ask him, well, all right, you have seen so many masters, what have you got from this master? What is the true qualification of a master? He says, well, he puts the collision, he shows you that collision of first an experience through your eyes, you see. You have to just concentrate, you see. Soul sees in the body where this lies, you see. At the time when that you might have seen people dying, lower portion is dead, his eyes are upturned, he is still alive, you see. But he is not dead. The seat of the soul in the body is back the eyes. If you know how to come above the body, just like a light is here, the whole place is being lighted, you see. Similarly, soul's seat in the body is back, the eyes are from there, it infuses life throughout the body. He says, just come up there, then what will the result? I mean, you will see light with it. So all masters were better, but there's one and another eye, Mayun din Chishti. But he said, just open your eyes, please, so that you may see the light of God, the glory of God which is within you. Then how? He said, just through the organs of sense, through the eyes, through the ears, through the mouth, you're just going outside, just inward, transcend, and you'll see the light of God. And if you do not see the light of God, he said, you may mock with me. It is so very gentle, you see. So Maulana Rum says that we should not be afraid of leaving this body, you see. Reason is that we are not only this physical body, we have got other bodies too. That is the astral and causal bodies, you see. These bodies are given to us just to enable us to work in the outward physical body, whatever we like, we are working now. But inner side is closed, you see, we do not know how to transcend this physical body, open the inner eye and see, come in contact to the astral body, with the astral world. So he says that don't you be afraid of leaving the body, because you have another body with it. That is why Kabir says, you see, the true, penance are the practices of spiritual practice and lie in the fact that you know how to transcend the world. This is the true religion. And if you just do that, succeed that way, you will not remain attached to the outer world and its glamour. So Maulana Rum, he gave a very great stress on the fact that, well, look here, if you want to have a real life, what you should do? He says, just learn how to die before death, how to leave the body before death, only then you have the true life, you see. So you see, the whole subject is before you now. Body is the temple of God, most valuable and precious, highest of all creation. This is given to us only for a temporary period. Consider ye as an exile, you see. This is just like an inn, you see, where are the motel, the people come and stay for the night and leave the next morning, you see. Similar like that is what it is. Where are our forefathers, I tell you? They are no more. They are similar bodies like you. And they are left. And we are no exception to that. We also have to leave. That's the one thing to be kept in view. Second thing, this man body is the highest of all creation. It is truly speaking, though it is given to us for a short while, but it is the true temple of God. It is made after the image of God. In the outer places the holy purchase was made after the image of man, you see. Dome shaped or no shape, just is like. Within that they have kept the symbols of light and sound. That's only symbol to let people know that body is the true temple of body, and there when you enter you will have a light of the kind of light. And still more, that will grow in volume as you advance further, go ahead on the way back to God. And there is sound reverberating in every heart. The symbol outside. So the man who has got this man body, well, this is the highest of all creation and the most, I would say, golden opportunity that we have got. As a man, we are not to simply enjoy like beasts. Look to the cattle, you see. God has made their heads facing the earth, you see, like that. But then, look here, you are after man, God has made your eyes upward, see upward, you see. Don't be attached to the worldly enjoyments or sensuous life. This is only defiling the temple of God, you see. God shall destroy. So this is a holy temple of God in which we live, God also lives within. The God is light, and if we just know how to open the inner eye, then you will know, you will see the light of God. For that purpose you require somebody who has got that first experience and can give you that experience. Kabir says, well, it is better to die, you see, learn how to die. If you learn to die even 100 times a day, he said, 100 times a day, whenever you want to stay and go up, again come back. You are expert that way, well, where the thing of death is left, he says. He says, the people are afraid by having the name of death. He says, but I am all joyful at the name of the death, you see, because I know how to leave the body in counseling. For me, that is the complete union with God, no return whatsoever. So we have to make the best use of all that, you see. When we transcend, open the inner eye, then further there is something more, you see. That is, we come in contact with the Divine Word. This is called as in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Well, that we will take up tomorrow evening. What is Word? What the Masters who came, they define it. What is this Word? How we come in contact with that after transcending the body? And what is the job of a Master? What he has to do? What sort of yoga he teaches us? You see? And if we have love for the Master, that will give us progress, you see, more quick than as in the ordinary course. So that will be the subject of tomorrow evening, you see. What is the highest form of yoga, which is most natural, and natural things are always easier. See? Second thing, how to come in contact with the Divine Word within, where it is, how to come in contact with that, and ultimately who can be a master, what the master can give us. That will be subject of tomorrow.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was a talk by Master called True Values of Life, and it was given on August the 3rd, 1955, in Hollywood, California. Our reader this evening is Rudy Cascone. Hello, Rudy.
Hello, David.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. Well, today's reading, after this wonderful reading of Masters, is from the Japji, from the 2013 version of the Japji, page 71. You can follow along on that version. Okay, I'm starting with Master saying, there are three restraints that help in concentration to the highest degree. The first, simran of the charged words given by the Master, brings back the mind from the outside and withdraws the spirit from the body to the seat of the soul in the body. This is first sinking from the circumference of our being to the center of our being. This also keeps reminding us of the highest ideals set up before man, which is self-knowledge and God-knowledge. The second process, Dhyan, also helps in concentration and fastens the soul inside. The last process, Bhajan, or listening to the spiritual music in man, carries the soul into the beyond to the source from whence the life current or sound principle of the holy Nam or the eternal song emanates. Just as in a pitch dark night when one sees naught or knows nothing before or behind, the bark of a distant dog or the far off flicker of a candlelight helps one onward in his journey. And so does the spiritual song and the refulgent light help a probationer soul on the path in its solitary ascent to the true home of the Father. The long process begins with concentration at the seat of the soul in the body, situated just between and behind the two eyebrows, where mental simran is done in full earnest. This enables the withdrawal of the spirit current at present diffused in the body and concentrates it at the seat of the soul, with the result that confines of gross matter of the body and of outward world are cut off. The spirit, once unfettered and disimprisoned from the finite existence, now gets it an ingress into the till. Nikuta Svida, or the third eye. And from here proceeds further, with the help of a God-man, to higher planes within. Well, after passing confidently through the astral planes, one reaches the Dasam Dwar, with its sacred fount of nectar, the true Amritsar, Mansarovar, or Pragraj in man. The Muslims call it Hawz I Khazur. A bath or baptism therein frees the spirit from the sheaths of the astral and the causal bodies and finer matter. This is the real baptism with the holy waters of immortality. The spirit, now left to itself, is fully refulgent in with a light brighter than several suns. Well, now cognizant of the true essence, which is none other than that of the Lord himself, it proceeds further with the help of the Master in his radiant form until the spirit reaches the pure spiritual region, the Sach Khand, New Jerusalem or Makim Ahak, where Sat Purush, the formless one, resides. And therefrom, with the help and through the grace of the latter, the spirit is passed through onto the nameless region one by one by stage, one stage by stage. This aspect of the ascent of the soul from the material planes to the spiritual material regions and thence to the purely spiritual regions forms the subject matter of stanza 21 of the Japji. Therein the master has dealt with the three most important stages out of the five spiritual stages. The till, the starting point, dasam dwar, and sach khand. The five regions are also explained at the end of the Japji. The man who has access into till and bathes in the luster of the luminous astral figure of the master is called a Sikh or a disciple of the master, a devotee. As he progresses upward, he reaches the dasam dwar, the third in the stages of development, and becomes a sadh, a disciplined soul. And when he reaches the region of pure spirit, he is given the epithet of sant or saint. One who has reached the highest spiritual region of the nameless one, the unknowable, the imperceivable, becomes a param sant, the saint of saints. These expressions occur in the text of the sayings of the masters. These are specific terms with significant connotations and have no reference whatsoever to those engaged in the outer pursuits or forms and formularies, or in the performance of rites and rituals, or observance of fasts and vigils, etc. Guru Nanak was a saint of the highest order, the Param Sant, who reached the region of the Nameless One, as will be evinced from his own words. Fly above the region of truth of the pure spirit, then reach the stage of the unknowable and the imperceivable. Above this is the abode of saints, and lowly Nanak dwells there. Well, now we come to the chapter which says, God-man. Without a God-man, the mystery of the soul is never revealed. With all that has been said here, or may be said, the mystery of the soul remains a sealed book. No expression can reveal the truth at the back of the creation. The ascent of the soul to the higher regions is impossible unless one is ushered into those planes. Of course, one may be able to withdraw the spirit current into the eyes from the body through Simran or see some light at times, but there is nothing in there to take or guide him upward. Many were held in these elementary stages for ages and ages, and no help came to guide them. Some have called this stage the be-all and end-all, but they still linger at the outskirts of grosser matter in the stronghold of the finer matter. It is here that the help of some competent body is needed to extricate the devotees from the iron grip of subtle matter. That somebody should be the man who has gone through the different stages of spiritual development and has made a pilgrimage to the region of pure spirit, Satnam, far beyond the hold of matter. The master says, he who knows the Satpurush is the true master. In his company alone, a Sikh, a devotee, is emancipated. O Nanak, he will see the Lord and sing praises of the Almighty. Three of essentials for the progress of the soul to the Lord explained. There are three essentials for the progress of the soul to unite with the Lord. These may be summed up as 1. Satguru or true master. 2. Sangat or the congregation of the votaries presided over by the master. 3. Satnam, or the true name, or the true Nam. Masters form a divine brotherhood in God. They are the gems of humanity who have completed their evolution and risen into God consciousness. They have achieved complete oneness with the divine being and are overflowing with the holy word or divine life in its fullness. They reincarnate in human form in order to guide the destinies of the child humanity to the goal of life. They form, as it were, the connecting link between man and God. They belong to the order of the great ones, who are charged with the duty of watching the human race. They take true seekers after God under their care to hasten their realization of at-one-ment with the one being. The qualifications of a God-man. A true master cannot be known all at once. He is a God-man. A God-man alone can truly know a God-man. He may be described as one who is brimming over with spirituality, far above the life of senses. He has freed himself from the various sheaves of grosser and finer matter, and has seen the all-truthful with his eyes within and without. He is competent to unfold the spiritual possibilities lying dormant in man. All are provided with the same stuff inside them, like the stuff of a battery already charged. But he is the one who has connected himself with the great magnetic battery of the Lord and receives direct messages from him. He is the mouthpiece of the eternal. We, each one of us, have the same stuff in us, but our batteries are disconnected. We need reconnection so as we may also serve as live batteries and be able to receive messages of the Lord. We need such a one who is himself connected and who can also connect our batteries with the Lord. He has in him the refulgent light of the infinite and is competent to relight our extinguished lamps. And an unlighted lamp is incompetent to light other lamps. All are spiritually blind when they come to the feet of the master, of a master. He opens their inner eyes, which are latent, and enables them to see the light of God. He opens their inner ears and makes them hear the sweet melody of the divine music of the word Onam. Be ye perfect as thy Father in heaven is perfect, said Christ. All are destined to be perfect, and in the end they will attain the state of perfection. Whatever we are now is the result of our past acts and thoughts. Our future is being molded and determined by what we now think and do. But this shaping of our future does not preclude us from receiving help from outside. A fruit tree that ordinarily is left to itself bears fruit in 5 or 6 years. Wood, when treated scientifically with fertilizers, etc., bear forth fruit in abundance and more quickly by 2 or 3 years. Similarly, the unfoldment of the spirit life is quickened by the help of a master. This help is of immense value. Such outside help quickens the inner possibilities of the soul. It awakens the spiritual life in us and leads us to the highest goal in the end. Scriptures unable to awaken spirituality. This quickening impulse cannot be derived from sacred books. As light comes from light, so comes life from life. A soul must receive live impulses through the lyrical glances of some master soul. Mere book knowledge or any intellectual development fails to awaken spirituality. Through book learning, the intellect is certainly fed, but the spirit gets no food. This is why each one of us can speak wonderfully of spiritual matters, but the actual life betrays not a speck of it. We may read and read endlessly and may read on devotedly for months and years, nay, ceaselessly all our lives. But, O Nanak, all this simply feeds and fattens the ego only and is of no avail. A living spirit can be quickened into life only through the living impulses of the master soul. You may call such a man by any name you like, but such a man is a necessity. Each religion has testified to the need of such higher help. We do not deny the need of help from outside in all our objective pursuits. We usually look to someone who is expert in a given subject. So why should we then be ashamed to seek the help of somebody in the pursuit of what is purely subjective, the spiritual path, and what is hidden from our objective vision and is wholly shrouded in mystery? How grateful we should be if somebody were to lead us into the inner recesses of the subjective world. Whoever has risen to the highest heights of spirituality above the ken of both gross and subtle matter can transmit power and lead us safely across the ocean of elusive matter. Mawlana Rumi, a Muslim divine, says, "If you intend going for a pilgrimage to the divine, take with you one who has already pilgrimaged, no matter whether he be a Hindu, a Turk, or an Arab. All around deterioration is the main feature of our time. Literal words of the scriptures without the spirit or meaning behind them have taken the place of living the life with most of us. Immersed in ignorance, some feel that they know everything and offer to take others' burdens on their shoulders. Thus, with the blind leading the blind, both fall into the ditch. The world is full of so-called teachers. Such teachers have steeped the world in ignorance. These creatures of darkness, wise in their own conceit, pretend to give away untold treasures of divinity. They are just like beggars who want to make a gift of $1 million. Thus, without the help of one who has truly imbibed the truth beyond, no progress can be made in the way of spirituality. The Master has said, rare indeed is the man who knows Godhood. If one is begging from door to door, cursed shall be his life and cursed to the order which he belongs. The Master again says, never prostrate thyself at the feet of him who calls himself a spiritual preceptor and goes a-begging. A true master earns his own living and shares it with others. O Nanak, only such a one can know the way to the Lord. Necessity of a God-man. Whosoever wishes to see a king, he must first seek the company of one who is a favorite of the king. Whosoever is aching to see the Lord, let him seek one who has become one with him. Again, let no man in the world live in delusion. Without a God-man, none can cross over over to the other shore. Mawlana Rumi says, he who wishes to seek the presence of the Lord, tell him to sit in the company of the saints. The saints are competent to change the course of our lives from beginning to end and are the means for leading us Godwards. They receive revelations from the Most High, and whatever they say is veritable truth. The Master says, listen ye to the true testimony of the saints, for truly they say what they actually see with their own eyes. You need not care for their outer appearance. Remain at their feet out of devotion. All who love the Lord, Hindus, Muslims, Christians, and men of all other denominations, are one to them. They have the Son of Divinity hidden within their physical bodies. They are the music of the eternal song. The Master explains this very truth in the fifth stanza of the Japji. Such are the Masters then, who manifest the eternal song within us and make the same audible to us. All illumination and perfection is in them. All that is good and excellent is in such a master. He is a God-man, nay, a polarized God, a pole from which the power of God works in the world. Who is the Guru? In the terminology of the saints, the saint who practices and teaches the science of the word is called a guru. The word guru is a Sanskrit word which comes from the root guri, which means to sound or speak. The word guru is therefore held to mean one who practices the sound principle. who communes with it and who makes it audible within man. Plato Sahib defines the Guru as the being who brings the word, the eternal song, from the heavenly spheres and makes it audible to us. Guru Nanak also says, he who shows the real home in this body is the true Guru, the all-powerful. He makes the five-sounded word reverberate in man and thus sounds forth the clue to the word. Swami Shiv Dayal Singhji defines the Guru as, Guru is he who loves the word. He worships none else than the word. He who practices the word is the all-competent Guru. Revel thou in the dust of his feet and humbly stick to him. Kabir also says, all sadhus are great, each in his own way, but he who communes with the word is worthy of adoration. But to meet such a guru is through divine dispensation alone. In the fullness of thy grace, thou makest the God-man meet us. Without instruction from a God-man, the word cannot be communed with. And when this communion is received, it leads the soul to the Lord from whom the word emanates. Then all our efforts have their full reward. Communion with the word means union with the Lord, and all efforts blossom forth into full fruition. When you, through immense or immeasurable good fortune, find such a holy person, stick to him tenaciously with all your mind and all your soul, for you can realize through him the object of your life, self-realization and God-realization. Do not look to his creed or color. Learn the science of the word from him and devote yourself heart and soul to the practice of the word. Guru is one with the word. The word is in him and incarnates in the flesh to give instruction to mankind. Truly, the word is made flesh and dwells amongst us. In the Gospels, we have the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. When we learn to shake off the mortal coil at will and are able to rise above body consciousness and enter into the astral world, the Guru appears in his radiant astral form to help us on in the planes above. He does not leave us until we reach the Almighty. Christ has said in clear words, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee till the end of the world. And in the words of the Master, Bani or Word is the true teacher, and the true teacher is the Word personified. Again, within is the heavenly light, and from it Bani or sound doth proceed, and it doth attune the soul with the true Lord. There is an inverted well. A light is ablaze without any oil or wick. And from the refulgent light there flows symphonies sublime. Plato Sahib. Now comes the question, where can we find the sound and light? It is far away from the mortal gaze, encased in sheaths upon sheaths of matter. We must rise above the stronghold of matter if we are able to find it. It can be seen and felt, but with the eyes that are different from the mortal eyes of flesh. We have full respect and regard for all the holy scriptures, because we find therein the teachings of the word, the Bani. Strictly speaking, ink, paper, and print do not form the object of our worship, but with them, the word teacher written large. Similarly, in the physical body of the saint, we worship the word personified in his person, and as such, the two are inseparably respected. It is just like a beloved sitting inside a house with the doors closed. We want to bow. How can we? We know for certain that it is the beloved to whom we like to bow and not to the mud, lime, and mortar of the house in which the beloved resides, we bow down before whom? Do we bow to the mud walls? No, but before the indweller of the house behind the walls. However, to all appearances, we may look like as though facing the mud walls. The word or the Bani is the true teacher for all mankind. It is one for all. It was the true teacher in the past. It is the same teacher now. It shall ever be the teacher for all times to come. There is no second teacher or guru of mankind. The man who has found him, word guru, who has become one with him, the word in him, is related to us in the same way as the beloved referred to above. It is the self-luminous, radiant figure within the physical body of the outer man who is our true teacher and who is one with the Lord. It is none other than the Lord himself, as he himself appears in the form of a sad. For God verily appears in the form of a sad. The great treasures of Guru Granth Sahib, as all other scriptures, sing paeans of such a God-man who can unite us with the Lord and lead us across the ocean of matter. In this context, we read, he who hath his seat across the heavens is sounding the eternal song, O Nanak, the glory of Asad, the holy scriptures cannot fathom. And again, without the word, darkness prevails within. Man does not have it, nor escapes his endless cycles of births. With the key in the hand of a God-man, none dare unlock the door. Rare good fortune may bring a God-man to the rescue. The God-man and the Lord consider them as one, and struggle thou not in ignorance. Again, ye that hanker after the state of inner silence called Sihaj, know thou for certain that without a God-man there is no admittance. Whosoever glorified God-man knows the Lord. All pain is annihilated, all pain discerning the true Shabd, the Word. Meeting the God-man, the mind leaves off all ramifications, and one obtains an ingress into the true home within. Great is the God-man, the Satpurush, for he gives satiety and satisfaction. To taste the precious ambrosial water for which you came into the world, that you can taste only through the grace of a God-man. The service of the Master makes the sound current audible, and then one gets to know salvation. The word of a Master manifests the divine light. When the true Master is served, the eternal music becomes audible, and then only is the mystery resolved. The God-man lights the lamp of the Word. When a God-man is met, the Lord makes his appearance. Through the favor of a God-man, you will see the temple of the Lord within you. With all the dexterities at thy command, thou cannot commune with the Nam, for it comes as a gift from the God-man. Consider God-man and the Lord as one and the same, for whatever pleases one is acceptable to the other. The treasure of Nam, the spiritual current, is in the temple of God, the body. The ignorant do not recognize it. Through the favor of the Guru, it is realized and the Lord gets embedded in the core of the heart. The prophet says that God had said, the earth and the sky and the higher regions are all quite insufficient to accommodate me. I cannot be contained in them all. Know thee, O dear ones. But strange as it may seem, I abide in the heart of a saint. If thou seekest me, seek me in them. Milana Rumi. Therefore learn to worship the Satguru. Guru Amar Das Ji says, the worship of the true master is the worship of the Lord. With boundless compassion, he connects you to the Nam, with Nam, and ferries you across the ocean of delusive matter. Those that worship the lifeless and the tombs go with their labors in vain. God-man is our only true friend. All the worldly connections are severed at the time of death. All friends, all relatives, the wife, children must part. Who is there to accompany you to the other world? Oh, none, but the Word personified in the God-man does. It helps you in all your undertakings here and hereafter. The God-man receives the initiates at the time of death when all others fail. Like a never-failing friend, he always holds out his helping hand in weal or woe. I'm going to stop there, and what I was reading from was from the Japji, starting in the 2013 version of the Japji on page 71. Thank you, Master, and thank you all for listening.
And thank you, Rudy, for reading for us. There were 54 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Be not deluded. As we are now, we think perhaps this is the only place, this we live here forever, but nobody has lived here forever. This is a golden opportunity we have got to find our way back to God.